This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Richard Willingham is the state political reporter for The Age, and he's joining us this morning, and Richard is going to be a regular guest and commentator, which is fantastic. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. It's Macca here, and Tass is my co-host.
Good morning, Richard.
Morning.
We first cab off the rank, Michael Kroger and, I love this, Peter Phonecard Reith, are in a battle for the presidency of the Victorian Liberal Party, and we're seeing federal parliamentarians and state parliamentarians openly taking sides here, which is quite interesting because they all like to say there's no factions in the Liberal Party. It's like saying there's no, it's like saying there's no air in water. But it looks to me like a little bit of a dirty fight.
It's certainly one that's keeping a lot of people who closely watch politics entertained, I guess. It is. I think there was an expectation for some time that, you know, that Kroger would be unopposed, and that people had certainly been complaining about his performance for some time. And then, the noises started getting louder that he would be challenged, and then Peter Reith's name emerged, and then last week it was all declared out in the open. And I think it really is the people who are opposed to Kroger have sort of said this is a line in the sand moment. We've got to act now. There's a big feeling that they've got to act this year so that there's no challenge next year ahead of the state election, which, of course, Matthew Guy has, you know, a good chance of winning. So you don't want that instability in an election year. So it's sort of now is the perfect timing. It's got to happen now. And as you said, there is lots of MPs, particularly the federal ones, declaring which side they're on. I think there's probably stronger support, you know, probably more widespread support for Reith in the state party room. I think Matthew Guy sort of declared that he is, you know, looking to back Peter Reith. He said now is the time for change. We don't want to change next year. We should change now.
Richard, you may or may not read the Herald Sun, but the Herald Sun on page 3 had a bit of a roll call of, you know, which federal MPs are aligned to which of the two leaders. So you do read the Herald Sun then?
I read widely.
Good call. We've seen Kelly O'Dwyer, and her position's interesting. She's a previous guest on the show. She hasn't come on for a while. I think she's afraid of us, but It is unusual that you're seeing this open warfare, and I'm wondering why do so many people want to dump Michael?
I think there's sort of several issues. I mean, it's multi-layered. There is the people that think that he has allowed this sort of group of young Turks centered around Marcus Bastion, who some people, you know, have accused him of branch stacking. He's allowed them to sort of run amok for too long. He was close to them, and there's a firm belief in, among some, particularly MPs, that this group has been recruiting and destabilising. They're not, you know, they're sort of undermining Matthew Guy, and Kroger's let this happen. I mean, at the same time, some people do caution that, yes, he was close to them, but now they've sort of taken a life of their own, this group. I think one person described in a story of mine recently, it's Frankenstein's monster, you know. Mm. And others are concerned about Kroger's relationship with the Cormac Foundation, or a major benefactor. There's a big standoff over funding and internal governance. You know, whereas, and Michael himself, you know, he believes he's doing the right thing, and he believes that the party was set up in a certain way and they're not going to, you know, bend to the demands of donors. And he has definitely got plenty of support himself. It's not all doom and gloom for him. I think it's going to be a very, as you pointed out, there is federal MPs, you know, right in his corner. People are definitely supporting him and saying there's no need for change. There's, his supporters are sort of warning that if Peter Reith does win, it gives Labor plenty of ammunition to launch and, you know, a further IR war on the Liberal Party. You know, they're going to bring back, you know, this is, you know, I think it was the...
But don't you think the IR war's already commenced, though, Richard? Yeah. I mean, it's...
Well, it gives fuel. It adds
the penalty rate saga has become a noose around the Prime Minister's neck. I mean,
yes, you know, even though he... Issue.
Yeah, of course, even though he didn't actually... It wasn't his decision. At the end of the day, it's his problem, really, isn't it?
That's 100% correct. And what the argument is if you then... You have a state president who's, you know, of the same, an IR warrior. It gives the Victorian Labor Party, and you can sort of make it as a local state issue, you know. I think if you remember back to the 2014 election, the Victorian Labor Party was very effective at linking Dennis Knapfeyer to Tony Abbott. There was that sort of ad where they merged the two heads together. It was that there was a moment where Tony Abbott and Dennis Knapfeyer were doing a press conference together, and sort of Tony leant over and sort of gave Dennis a half cuddle.
Yes.
And there was just, I think the people in the poor Premier's office were...
It was just,
you know,
a bit of bromance, really, wasn't it?
Yes, but they didn't need that image at a time when Tony was so poisonous in Victoria. So there's just so many elements to this. I think it'll be very close. Both sides, of course, think that they're going to win easily.
Yeah.
Funny about that. But, I mean...
It does feel a little bit split down the middle, though, to me, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
It's a bit... I can't predict what's going to happen with that one.
Well no, it's the delegates to state council who will ultimately decide this. So it's, you know, MPs can say, I'm supporting X, but, you know...
State council.
One vote. Yeah, it's state council. And it's going to be a test of how much this sort of the membership... You know what they think. You know,
Richard, can I shift your attention?
No, hang on. I want to ask one quick question, Tess. Sorry
about that.
I mean, Sky News, you know, which has, you know, a few viewers, not as many as I'd like to think. So, Kroger's regularly on that, as is Peter Reith, and I've got to say, I do watch them. But my view on Peter Reith is, when he's with Peter Beattie, he's really out of his depth. He seems to me to be so out of touch with what is actually going on in Australia, as opposed to Michael Kroger. Now, you know, I'm not a cheerleader for either of them, to be honest. But Michael's been a guest on this show, and he's always good. But Peter Reith, I watch him and I think, mate, you know, are you really saying that? Are you really thinking that? And you wonder why he has so much support. But then again, you know. Trying to work out politics, a bit like the WA election, like what is going to happen there.
Yeah, I think the point you make about the Sky stuff's interesting. There was Kroger supports were very jubilant the other day when Peter Reith was on with Andrew Bolt on Sky, and it was a train wreck of an interview. He was Bolt
wasn't
asked
it?
Him simply.
It was like a couple of flies. Asked. Was like a couple of flies circling a turd.
Yeah, it was. He was just simply asked, how many seats does Matthew Guy need to win?
Yeah.
Government. And he said, oh, one and two. It's seven.
Yeah.
It was a fairly sort of straightforward question for someone who... Anyway, it was a shocker. And Michael's supporters were very quick to point out how bad it was. But as you pointed out earlier, how many people actually watched that show?
Yeah.
On we go.
Yeah.
So
I mean, fortunately...
It's an interesting couple of weeks, I think.
Certainly, you know, more people read The Age in print and online than watch in one day than watch these guys on Sky in a week.
Totally, totally. But look, because we're going to run out of time soon, Richard, I want to take your mind to WA. What's your prediction? What do you think is going to be the outcome there? What will we wake up with tomorrow morning?
Well, if you believe the polls, that Labor should win. You get a sense there's a bit of a...
I'm interested in your insight, though. I mean, we know what the polls say, and I think, you know, polls have been proven to be incorrect on a number of occasions. Although, in this case, the trend has been pretty consistent, hasn't it?
Yeah, my insight is limited, being in WA, but I think you get the impression that there is probably a bit of an it's-time factor.
Yes.
Colin Barnett, you know, the Liberals have been in power, I think it's 8.5 years. which is, it's in modern politics in Australia, it's a long time.
Long time, yes.
You just get the sense there's a bit of its time. You know, he's a bit on the nose. You know, the mining boom is wearing off. The economy's slowing. The jobs, security, all that sort of thing.
If your prediction's right, what does this mean for Malcolm Turnbull?
It's a good question. I think what'll be really interesting is how big or small the One Nation vote ends up being, and what damage that preference swap with the Liberals does to the Liberal vote. I think that's a really key one to watch, and that'll probably also inform state elections here in Victoria. You know, what are the major parties going to do with them? Because there was that poll last week that showed that One Nation was about 12.5% in Victoria, which I found very interesting.
It's frightening.
Myself. But I think that'll be very interesting. But I do get the sense it's time factor. There's the really big blue between the Libs and the Nats in WA, which is really interesting, and that's something that really could, the fallout of that, whether that extends to Canberra and the coalition there, will be very interesting. So I think that it's one to watch. And I guess as someone who follows state politics, you know, in Victoria, there is a lot of people making comparisons to Mark McGowan's campaign to Dan Andrews' campaign in 2014. And from what I hear, that they borrowed quite a lot of the same techniques, you know, giving him a makeover 6 months out from the election.
Yes.
You know, relaxed him a bit. So, yeah, be very interesting to see the results.
Yes, it will be.
Just before we go, Richard, so as we look up our studios in Bourke Street and we look up the Hill to Parliament House, you know, to lose a speaker is unfortunate. To lose a deputy speaker is a bit careless. The Rorts...
How Oscar Wilde of you,
Michael. Oh, I know. You know, Don Nardella, the big question is, does he have a tow bar on his car for his caravan that he's got parked at Ocean Grove, and why won't he pay back the money?
He won't pay back the money because he believes he's done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And probably by the... I mean, it depends on where he declared his property. That's the sort of... If he's declared his property in Ocean Grove and it's 100% legitimate property, he probably hasn't broken the law, because the rules are, don't state you have to live in your electorate. So one, is, you know, if you don't live in your electorate and you live elsewhere, that's not a crime. Also, the fact is the second residence entitlement, which both of these men have claimed, actually doesn't specify it's for country MPs only.
Yeah.
So if you are the member for Tarnie...
Technically,
you do,
yeah.
Yeah, technically. They, I mean, they're guilty in the court of public opinion for having their snouts in the trough. And in politics, you know, that's probably enough, isn't it?
It is.
It's cost their careers.
Matthew Guy jumping up and down saying this should go to the police. Well, you know, I think there needs to be sort of some evidence that they have, you know, committed fraud. You know, that they have actually not lived there. They've, you know, maybe if Don Nardella has, you know, as you say, hitched a caravan and moves from place to place and then claims one as his residence, well, I think that really is probably taking the piss, isn't it?
It is. If stupidity was against the law, they'd be guilty.
Yeah, but, you know, this is... And this just goes back to the problem is that these entitlements are so opaque. There's no sort of public declaration. It's very hard for, you know, the public and us journalists to actually go and find who's claiming what. But I think it should all be, you know, put on a public register that we should all see.
Yeah,
I'm not advocating for their specific address, but it should say Don Nardella, MP for Melton, lives in, Ocean Grove.
I agree.
It should be all updated in real time. At the moment, they have this register of members' interest, which comes out every 6 months. And they can update it, you know, within 30 days, and we don't see it for 6 months. So I think it's the system needs overhauling. They probably should just get rid of the second residence allowance, full stop. And country MPs should be given an allowance to stay in Melbourne, not a second residence allowance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because a lot of these paying off mortgages, you know.
Exactly. We've run out of time, unfortunately, Richard. Great to speak to you. Looking forward to having you on regularly. Thanks for your reporting of the state political landscape for The Age. We all enjoy reading it. Hope you have a nice weekend. You're in Sydney, so have a nice weekend in Sydney. And
I will.
We'll speak to you again
soon.
Thank
you. Cheers.
Bye, Richard.
Cheers. That was Richard Willingham, state political reporter for The Age.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.